Okay. Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on family matters. Mask, mothers and fathers aligned, saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health issues, including school issues and addictions. If you know somebody that needs a referral or a parent support group, for a therapist, for an inpatient or outpatient clinic, for a sober living program, drop-in centers, please feel free to call MASK on our confidential number from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Our number is 718-758-0400. I am going to repeat that number. You may want to jot it down for yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, or someone you usually would sit next to in shul. Please jot down our number. You never know who it could help. 718-758-0400. Tonight, it's really an honor. It's more than an honor. It's just for me personally to have somebody come on who has really devoted themselves so much to the mission of community. No other than Eve Goldberg, who's the founder of Big Vision New York City, Big Vision, Live Life Sober, Big Vision Community. And I'd like to welcome you on, a dear colleague, a friend, Eve. I'd like to welcome you on with us tonight. Thank you for making the time for being on.
Thank you, Ruchama. Thank you very much for having me. And thank you to MASK for all the wonderful work that you do. I will say that I wish that I had known about your organization years ago when I probably could have really used the help in my life.
Yeah, well, we are in our 23rd year, and our numbers, unfortunately, but fortunate to so many, thank God, we have had over, we're almost at 110,000 families that have attended our groups, our programs, our, you know, on our helpline, case managed, et cetera. So, Eve, what brings you to Big Vision? What is Big Vision for my listeners that aren't familiar with your program? Can you tell us a little bit how you got involved as the founder of Big Vision Community, please?
Sure, sure. So I lost my son Isaac when he was 23 years old to an accidental drug overdose. And for Isaac, he had many challenges. He was a handsome, smart, funny, compassionate young man, grew up in a very quote-unquote normal household. I mean, he came from a divorced family. My husband, ex-husband, and I divorced when he and his sister were pretty young. But other than that, he had a pretty normal upbringing. He had some learning disabilities as a child. He had different struggles. But when he got to, you know, high school, late high school, and early college, that was when things really started to go downhill for him. And one of the things, you know, he got into drugs, and he had, you know, struggled. He overdosed one time, and after that time, you know, he was nearly dead. He was in the hospital. His organs were shutting down. He was, you know, I took pictures of him. I remember taking all these pictures so I could show them to him so that he would see, like, what it looked like and think, you know, he would never want to do that again. And of course, he did say to me, you know, never again, never again. But this disease of addiction, as you know, is, it hijacks your brain. And he went down that path that he did not want to go down very, very quickly. You know, he had gone into treatment a couple of times successfully. And, you know, once he came out, one of his biggest struggles was really finding ways to live a sober life, finding ways to feel normal and just, you know, experience things without the help of substances. He just didn't know how to do it. All his friends were getting high, and that was just all he knew. It was the way he knew to have fun. So in 2014, January 2014, Isaac had been clean for a couple of months, was living in sober living, came back to live with me, got a job, was doing really well, got his own apartment, you know, never looked better. And then very quickly got back into his, you know, addictive ways. And I found him one morning and he was not responsive. And he ended up being in the hospital for about 6 weeks in a coma. And, you know, we lost him that way. And, it, you know, when I sat shiva for him, I remember everybody that came in the room, I said, I'm going to do something to make meaning out of his life. And I talked about his addiction. Everybody knew at the funeral, I spoke about it. His best friend got up and spoke. Everybody spoke about it. You know, we didn't hide the fact that we weren't ashamed of it. You know, weren't ashamed of that this was how he died. Tragic it was, but there was no shame for us. It was, we saw it as a disease and just sadly something he couldn't, he just couldn't get a handle on. And so when I sat shiva, all these, you know, people, many, many people came to visit, and I said, I'm going to do something to make meaning out of his life. And everybody, a lot of people said to me, I will help you. Tell me, what do you need? Whatever you need, I'll be there for you. And I would go into my room at the end of the night, and I made lists. And I put everybody on the list. Everybody who said they would help me got on that list. And then a couple of weeks after he passed away, I woke up and I said to my husband, I said, I have my big idea. And he said, what does that mean? And I said, well, because I'm in a for-profit family business and have been for 30 years. And he's like, what do you need a big idea for? I said, I figured out what I'm going to do. And I said, I want to open a center for young adults in recovery and help them learn to live sober, happy, meaningful lives. And so I called a meeting in my apartment, and all those people on my list got a phone call. And about 50 people showed up at my apartment, and that's how Big Vision was born.
And, unbelievable.
You know, I never in my life had to ask people for things. I was always the one that was asked. I was always, you know, it came from a very, you know, my father was very charitable and giving, and I always learned that from him, but I never knew how to ask people. And that was the first time I said, you know what, I'm not asking for me. I'm going to do this. I couldn't help Isaac, but I am going to help other young adults like Isaac. And I had no idea what I was doing. I had no clue. I said, you know what, I'm going to, before I actually open up a center, let me start by just creating some sober activities. And we had our first activity. I think it was go-karting. I rented a bus, and I went to all the sober living facilities and therapeutic communities in and around New York City, and I invited them to come, and we did it. And I didn't know if anybody was going to show up, honestly. And we had, like, I think 30 or 40 people came. It was all, like, age 18 to 30. And this friend of mine donated it to me. She has a place where they do indoor go-karting, and she said, I want to help you out. And it was great. And that was how we began. And just to let you know, so Big Vision, the way I got the name Big Vision Isaac's initials, it was Isaac Goldberg Baltimore. So he's IGV. So the big vision, IGV and big vision. You know, I didn't want to call it like Isaac's Place or something like that because I didn't want it to be, as much as it's about Isaac, it's not all about Isaac. It's about helping other people. And so I felt like his name would always be there embedded in the name of the organization. And that's how we got
beautiful.
The name.
Oh, so painful, so painful. And yet, look what you were able to do for him in his short life to offer others hope, to restore their hope, and have a place where they can go to for sober living. In Brooklyn, they have the drop-in center. It's called Our Place. And then they have the living room for sober community, which they do just miracles there. And we're very fortunate to have people like you that really, you know, make this a mission to help save young people's lives that are addicted and are trying to come back into the world and connect in healthy ways and healthy activities and events and in a safe place for them. Because, Eve, the truth is most of the calls that we get on the Mask Helpline when kids do, young people come out of treatment, I mean, they're taught, change places, things, people, you know, so they need to find new friends, new people to hang out with and, you know, to do activities with, entertainment, in a good environment. And it's so hard to find.
So
I wanted so much for so long. We've been talking about this show for more than a year already, right?
Exactly. So,
right. So I'm so happy that you are able to make the time tonight to speak about your community, your big vision community, which is Living Life Sober. What did you want to say?
Oh, I was going to say that you're 100% right what you're saying. It's so challenging. I mean, it's challenging for anybody at any age who wants to go out and not drink, you know, and not, you know, use any substances. Because, I mean, everybody today, you know, no matter what your age, is partaking. And for Isaac specifically, and for his age, like to go out and try and find new friends and people who, you know, are like him. I mean, when he went into sober living, they promised him they would introduce him to this amazing community of young adults in New York City who were all sober. And it was all in the AA rooms. That was the only place he could find them. And sadly, he had a very tough time even getting past the first step, which is not abnormal. There's a lot of people like that.
Yeah,
and AA just wasn't for him, and so he isolated. And we know that isolation is the worst possible thing. And we know it today with what's going on today with this pandemic. We've all been isolating, and we know that the incidence of suicide and mental health issues and drug overdoses is going through the roof right now because people are sitting at home by themselves, and we are social animals. And we need to be out there socializing and being with people like ourselves. And, you know, for the people that come to our groups, like we have one young man now who reached out to us. He's got 1 year, you know, of sobriety, and he wants to maintain it, but he's really struggling. He can't go to meetings. He's having a hard time just, you know, finding people to hang out with. And you know, we started doing all virtual events 8 months ago. You know, we were doing everything in person, from go-karting to trapeze school to knitting classes to ice skating, skiing, like anything you can think of, yoga, workouts. We were doing everything. And, you know, then all of a sudden we're like, can't do that. And so we started doing virtual events, and We have a lot of content on our website, even if people can't join the events while they're happening. At least they can sort of see that there is this lifestyle that you can have and live your best life without substances.
Bring up, can you describe some of the ongoing events that you have now during Zoom?
Yes. So we do, every Monday morning we have a yoga class, a recovery yoga class at 8 a.m. We do every, I think it's two Tuesdays a month, we do a knitting, online knitting class, which, by the way, is, I mean, we have brought so many new knitters into the world. I've been knitting since I'm a kid, and it's very therapeutic, and it's amazing. When we did it in person, we'd have 15, 20 people here learning how to knit in one night, and, you know, it's a great feeling because you're doing something with your hands, so you keep busy, you're actually accomplishing something, you're learning something new, and you're creating something. And a lot of people in recovery happen to be very creative and talented people as well. And then we have, what do we have coming up now? We're doing something for Thanksgiving called Friendsgiving. So we're going to, you know, all get together on Zoom and, you know, cook something together, you know, talk about, you know, health and, you know, healthy eating. We have someone who's going to come on, probably who's a nutritionist. And then we have a comedian who's going to be a part of it. It's, you know, this is all being put together as we speak with my team over here. And then we just did trapeze. We're going to do that again, hopefully, if the weather stays. We're going to actually do go-karting. We can only have 8 people at a time right now. Normally we have 40 people, but we'll do it a couple of times. And I can't even think of what else. There's lots of other things coming up. I know we're doing a comedy night. We're going to do, talent shows. We kind of, anything that you could think of, we've done. It's all, we have everything listed with calendars on the website and on social media.
Wow.
Yeah, and then we're actually doing our one fundraiser of the year. Normally it's a big basketball tournament, but obviously we couldn't do that this year. So we have a big auction, an online auction coming up before the holidays, which we have a lot of great stuff that people can buy, you know, before the holidays. So that's what we're working on now.
Wow. Tell me, are your members that were coming prior to the pandemic, have most of them been up to Zooming, or have a lot of them fallen out of the groups because of the Zoom?
Well, it's a mix. You know, sadly, some of them, we don't know what happened to them. You know, some of them kind of lost. You know, I mean, we have one guy who used to come to every single event, and he came at the beginning, and then we knew, you know, we saw our social media, he had relapsed, and he reached out to us again now. We were so thankful to hear from him, and thank God he was alive and not doing well, living out of his car, like a really terrible story. He was doing so well, he'd gotten a great job. Like, it was just like Isaac's story, you know. It's very, I have to say that it's very gratifying to do this work, but it can be painful and difficult also because you get very, very attached to these. I do, you know, I get very personally attached to these people, and I only want them to do well. And obviously, as we all know, I can only control so much. And the only thing I can control is what I do with my life. Other than that, and no control, but I wish I could, you know, save every life, but one at a time. So, you know, we've gotten new people and some of the old people, but the Zooming is difficult because the timing of the Zoom, some people are working, some people are back in school, you know, so which is why we've created a lot of content that just sits like on our IGTV, you know, on Instagram. So it's there for people to use it anytime they want, and on our website, you know, so, you know, like I said, so we've got new people, lost some old people. We maintain contact with a lot of them, whether they can show up or not. You know, people are following us and just watching what we do. And, you know, we hear from people just saying, you know, just knowing that you're doing it sometimes is enough, and I watch it afterwards or whatever.
Right.
You know, but we're even doing some in-person things, like we did trapeze, we're doing a hike. You know, we're trying to do, you know, with small groups of people as safe as we possibly can. You know, and obviously winter's coming, it's going to be more difficult, but we just keep doing everything that we can.
Wonderful. You know? I know how difficult it is on mask. I mean, our groups for the parents are usually in person, and now, you know, the last many months have been via Zoom since March, and some of our groups work out great, and some of them, they're just, it's very difficult for some people, and Zoom is a little more difficult. But also, if, you know, somebody works all day on Zoom, and then their children are Zooming all day, and then the, you know, you need to go on, like you said, your programs are different times. Maybe the time isn't good. And maybe Zooming is just not for everyone. It's too much Zoom.
It
so
is.
That
people
be,
are Zoomed
that
out.
Really could be. Right. A lot of people are Zoomed out. So, Eve, let me just ask you, are there any fees for your programs?
No. Everything is free. All of our
all
programs
the
are
exciting
free.
Activities are all safe, COVID safe, and exciting and free.
That's right. That's right. They are. Yeah, we don't charge for any of our events. We want it to be accessible to everybody. We're really you know, we're a very diverse group who show up to our events, you know, from people living in sober facilities that, you know, are paying $20,000 a month to people who are in therapeutic communities who might be, you know, even previously incarcerated, you know. And, I mean, I have to tell you, I have no judgment anymore. I've lost any kind of judgment. I mean, with Isaac, it was like that, but with when I see these people coming to us from places that, you know, they are, you know, came out of jail, you know, had, you know, terrible issues with addiction and are just doing everything to better their lives, and they're amazing, and they come to our events, and they're grateful, and they're respectful, and they're, I mean, it's amazing to me. It's just amazing to me. And all these people, they all get along because they're all struggling in the same way. Some are just doing it in a little bit more luxuriously than others, but they're all kind of going through the same thing, the same process. So, you know, we see ourselves as just the missing link in recovery. You know, a lot of people think that treatment is everything, but treatment is only the beginning. And learning to live a healthy, sober lifestyle is the only thing that you're going to do to sustain recovery. And that's what Big Vision is all about. We're all about sustaining recovery and lifestyle.
Right. And let's talk a little bit about stigma. You know, the shame is so toxic, but stigma is still, we're all fighting about, you know, being stigma free, trying on every level. How is it in Manhattan, your program? There are people from, like you said, more wealthier families that may, you know, have their children participating. Has stigma been an issue at all for any of these families that are joining you, any of these young adults?
Certainly not with us. There's no stigma here. That's for sure. You know, anybody that comes here is welcome, no matter what color their skin, no matter what they look like, no matter,
and they can,
you know,
come from any neighborhood.
Listen, right now they can come from any state because we're or when the events are virtual, we have people join us from California and Florida, you know, and St. Louis, you know, Missouri, whatever. They come from all over now. So, but no, we have people from Jersey, Queens, Long Island, Brooklyn, Bronx. Yep. Yeah,
so,
no, I mean, listen, the stigma today is is a lot better than when Isaac passed away, where it was, you know, no one was talking about it. At least there's a conversation about it today.
Right. Right. So, Eve, there are so many people listening to our show tonight, and there are so many people that are struggling with so many different kinds of challenges and solitude and loneliness and drinking. What do you want to say to those people tonight that are listening? How do you want to address them, invite them? The floor is yours.
Well, I think I probably said it as well as I could, but I mean, number one, there's, you know, I am, you know, if you met me, you looked at me, you'd say, you wouldn't think that I, quote unquote, like had, you know, a son who was an addict, you know, or that I, you know, my family suffered with this, with losing somebody to an overdose, you know. I never dreamt, like in my wildest dreams, that that would be me. It can happen to anybody. It can happen to anybody, no matter who you are, no matter where you live, no matter how much money you have, how little money you have. It can happen to anyone. That's number one. And there is no shame in this at all. And that I want to stress. And the other thing is just that treatment works, but treatment is just the beginning. So don't think that you go to treatment and then you're good to go. 30 days, okay, now I'm going to go back in the world and I'm going to go back to my normal life. You know, there's, you always have to be vigilant. You always have to be, you know, aware of how to, you know, live your life in a different way. And we're just all about, you know, welcoming in people. I mean, we really, our core group is, you know, age 18 to 30. But, you know, anybody is welcome. Anybody has to have 48 hours of sobriety and really be working on their recovery. And like I said, all our events are free, and you know, we just want to help as many people as we can. That's really the bottom line here. We want to save lives, and we want to just be there to help the sober community to live healthy, meaningful, happy lives.
Well, it's wonderful having you on, Eve. I want to wish you the best of luck in continuing in your mission with IGV, with Big Vision Community, and helping those families, those persons that are struggling with whatever they may, their new lifestyle, you know, sober living needs to be, and always have your door in your community open for them. So thank you for being on tonight and sharing your story. And I'm so sorry, so terribly sorry for your huge loss. And I hope that Big Vision gives you some comfort, of course, in your loss. And I always love talking to you. So thank you for being on tonight.
Thank you for having me. And thank you for continuing all the great work that you do as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You and anyone that wants to speak to Eve, you can go online to bigvision.newyork. I'm sorry, Big Vision New York City or that New York City?
bigvision.nyc.
Right, bigvision.nyc.
Yep.
Right, and let's give out your phone number, the number that somebody can call Big Vision, please.
The phone number is 646-885-6720.
And we're, let's give out the address. Someone may be listening, want to help
well, the
you guys
thing,
out.
Yeah, it's 34 West 27th Street.
But we're in COVID, so no visitors right now. Before
exactly.
No visitors. Right.
Or go on the website. If you go on the website, bigvision.nyc, all the information is there. You can contact us
right
in that way.
Right. All right. Well, thank
right
you again, Eve.
Thanks
nice
again to you.
To you. Good luck to you. And I'd like to wish everybody a very good evening. a beautiful Shabbos. And always remember, hang in, hold on, and for now, virtually, hug tight.